having some physical affliction, and I know you were praying for him, and I'm thankful that the Lord relieved him. Amen. And the Lord blessed him to preach to us this morning and to lift our hearts up. The gospel of Jesus Christ lifts us up.
Yeah.
It also tells us in God's word what we are by nature and who we are in Jesus Christ. Who are you this morning? Well, in human nature, what family you are of, that's who you are humanly. But who are you in Jesus Christ?
Right.
You are a child of God. You are redeemed. You are purchased. You're bought. That's who you are in Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that the Lord has been so good. I appreciate this church, your kindness. Your hospitality. Brother and Sister Whitehead has, of course, treated me like a king, you know. But I'm nowhere near that. And it's just been a great, great time to be with you. And appreciate your pastor, Brother David. I told Brother David, and he didn't know it. I said, you're on the schedule this year. I didn't even ask him. I said, you're on the schedule. Fifth weekend in September. He said, really? I said, yep, you're on the schedule. But our people really appreciate him being with us and his preaching and the way he preached and encouraged us. I enjoy preaching.
Amen. Amen.
Every preacher enjoys preaching. If you don't enjoy preaching, you're in the wrong business. And the reason I enjoy preaching is not for myself. It's for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And for God's people. And the higher that I can lift his name, the more I enjoy it.
Amen.
Now, when I feel like I'm not blessed, I feel bad. I really do. Because I feel I hadn't lifted his name up like it should be.
Yeah.
But I hope the Lord will bless us for a little while to look into his word. I love the doctrine, the fundamentals. When I say doctrine, of course, doctrine can mean fundamentals. It can mean the practical aspects of how we should live, how we should conduct our life, our conversation, how we behave, how we do. And it's all important. But I want to begin in the book of Philippians, chapter 2. And verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name.
Amen.
That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, and he thanks God for them, every remembrance of them. He thanked God for them. They were very special to the heart of the Apostle Paul. They did so much for him. Of course, he established this church. And you can read about it in the Acts of the Apostle, about how that came about and how the Holy Spirit led him to the region, to Europe. And of course, this church was established, first of all, with a woman by the name of Lydia and her household, and then the Philippian jailer and his house. And of course, after that, others were added to that church, and they were very special to the Apostle Paul. But he lays out unto them certainly a fundamental, wonderful doctrine concerning Jesus Christ. And he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, this should be the mind of us.
Yes.
Let this mind be in you,
yes,
which was in the Lord Jesus. What was the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ? The mind of the Lord Jesus was to do the will of his Father in heaven. That was the mind. Now, because we are the children of God, we are to have that mind to do the will of our Father in heaven. Jesus perfectly did the will of the Father in heaven as the servant of God, speaking of his servitude unto the Father. He's always been the Son.
Yes.
He's the eternal Son of God.
Yes.
In fact, he is God.
Yes.
Some people don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. They don't believe that he was God when he walked here upon this earth. But he was God in the flesh.
Yes.
He was God in the flesh. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and he says, but without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh.
Yes.
The Son of God came here into this world and he assumed a human body. That body was prepared for him. As it is written in the volume of the book of me, I come to do thy will of God. A body hast thou prepared me. He didn't always have that human body.
No.
But he came. It was the Holy Spirit conceived in the virgin's womb. And this is a great mystery, that the Son of God came down and he assumed a human nature without sin.
Yes.
Not tainted with sin. It had to be that way. He had no earthly father, but he did have an earthly mother, Mary. That body came from Mary. Now that is a mystery, isn't it? And we believe that. I mean, that's a fundamental principle, that we believe in the conception by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin's womb. And that baby grew, the Lord Jesus, in that womb. And he was born into this world. What a wonderful event when the Lord Jesus was born into the world. I mean, his glory to God in the highest on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. This was ordained of God before the world began, that Jesus Christ should come into the world, and we know why he came. I'm glad that the Bible reveals unto us why he came and who he came for. Who did he come for? He come for his chosen people. That's who he came for. That's who he lived for as he journeyed upon this earth. Even though he did many wonderful miracles and he displayed who he was. I mean, there's no man like this man. He was different than any other man, and yet he was like the other Jews. He was a Jew. But yet he was different in that he was spotless. He was sinless. He was the Son of God in the flesh, and he was the servant of God. He served God. That was his meat, to do the will of his Father in heaven. So the Apostle Paul lays this out unto the Philippian church. Of course, they already knew this, but he's refreshing their mind. And he says, concerning this, he says, he being in the form of God, he made himself of no reputation, in the form of a servant, made himself of no reputation, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, he came to die.
Yeah.
He came to die. The only way that sinners could be redeemed is by the death of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Now, he must suffer, but he must die. He must suffer, but he must die. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He must die and give himself an offering unto God, that we might be reconciled to God, that we might be redeemed. And he did redeem men upon the cross. It was not a shot in the dark. He didn't say, well, I hope somebody's going to be with me in heaven. No, He assured by his death that all of his people were redeemed, that he came for, that God loved before the world began, and that he gave to his Son, that God loved a great multitude of people. I don't know why God loved me, but I'm glad he did. I'm glad God loved you. But I'm telling you, I rejoice more that he loved me. It's personal this morning. That he loved me. I don't know why. It doesn't matter really. I'm just glad he did.
Yeah.
I don't know, in heaven he may tell me. I don't know why. But it wasn't anything in me. It was just in the heart of God.
Yeah.
Why did he pass others by and love who he loved? It was because it was just in the heart of God. God is God, but I'm glad he loved his people, and I'm glad he loved me. He gave himself for me. He died for me, and it's personal to me. He's a personal Savior to me. He came to me personally, and therefore he did something in me personally. And now, through the gospel, I'm glad he told me about it, and I know about it, and I can give him all the praise and the honor and the glory. Now, he came into this world and he died for his people, and he arose from the dead, and now he's in heaven for us. God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. In the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. That name stands as a synonym for full and free salvation. Now, after the Apostle Paul lays this down, this fundamental principle, then he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, ye, as ye have always obeyed," I'll tell you what, a church, always obeying. I'd put my resume in there. Wouldn't you? As ye have always obeyed. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now this is something that the people of God do. Not so they can live in heaven. Not so that they can make the blood of Christ effective before God. Not so that they can be redeemed. But because they are redeemed. Because they are children of God, because they have come to the knowledge of salvation, because they have taken the name of the Lord Jesus, he says unto them, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I believe that this is done right now here in this time world by us. But it's not all by us. Because I believe we have help in doing this, you know. We have to have help in doing this, but he's provided that help for us by his word and by the Holy Comforter. You know, the Holy Comforter is the one who assists and comforts and leads and guides and directs us as we travel here in this world. So he says, here, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it is God that worketh in you both to will. I believe he works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. I don't believe that God forces you to do it. But I believe he works in you and he gives you the want to do it. There's a divine nature. He gives you the want to do what he has given us to do. Now, we still got that old human nature.
That's right.
Boy, I had to battle with him a lot. Sometime I say, "Oh man, get out of my way," you know. But I believe that human nature can be brought under subjection.
Amen.
By working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It is God that worketh in you. I'm glad that God works in us.
Amen.
That God, he's not far off, but he's near. He works in you.
Amen.
Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. If we could always do that, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Amen.
Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, that is manifest sons, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the light here in this world.
That's right.
We are the lights in this world, in a dark world, in a crooked and perverse nation. Paul was writing to the church at Philippia in a perverse and wicked and crooked nation, in a fallen situation. But they were the lights in the midst of that crooked and perverse nation. And we could bring it right up today. that we are the lights in a crooked and perverse nation. I'll tell you, this nation is going astray from God. In fact, I believe that this nation as a whole has forgotten God and shall be turned into hell. But the nation that remembers God, a nation that honors God, that nation is a blessed nation. And this nation has been a blessed nation. It was established on great principles upon the Word of God. But I'm telling you, this generation, or this nation, is going astray from God. But aren't you thankful you have a resting place in the church of the Lord Jesus, a light here in a dark world? And you know, we have a responsibility as God's people in the church, as disciples, to let our light so shine that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. People are watching us, you know. Our conversation, how we talk, how we do, how we act, how we behave is very important as a reflection of who we are and who we represent here in this world. And especially the gospel ministry, you know. We have a responsibility to the Lord and to the church to take heed unto ourselves. You know, that's very important, to take heed unto ourselves and unto the doctrine. And to the doctrine. That is the teaching of the fundamentals and also the practical aspect that is laid down in God's Word. Take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself. This is preacher salvation right here. Thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's the church. Those that hear thee. Those that take heed to what you preach. You taking heed to yourself. You being an example to them. It will save God's people who take heed to what is preached. Sad to say, not all of God's people take heed that are in the church. They don't follow that and they get in trouble. That's why churches get in trouble, and that's why preachers get in trouble, because they're not taking heed to themselves. They're not preaching the doctrine. They're not preaching the whole counsel of God. And therefore, they get into trouble. What if Brother David one Sunday morning comes up here and says, I'm not going to preach on election anymore. I'm not going to preach on redemption anymore. I'm just going to preach on practical things all the time. Well, I'll tell you what, this church would dry up and blow away. It would. Well, what if he said, well, all I'm going to preach on is election and predestination, in particular redemption. And I'm just going to leave everything else off that the Bible teaches. It still would dry up and blow away. You got to have all of it. You got to have instruction. You got to have rebuke. You got to have reproof. You got to have it all. And so it's the awesome responsibility of the pastor to preach the whole counsel of God. As the Apostle Paul call those elders together, the elders of Ephesus to Miletus, and he gave them a charge. And he says unto them in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, he says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, that's to the ministry, and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You see, the ministry didn't purchase the church. Jesus did that. Amen. The ministry preaches and feeds the flock of God. And I don't think that just means those who have confessed and are members. I preach to everybody that comes to church. Yeah. Every one of them. I want to preach to them, I want to feed them, and I'm going to instruct them that if you feel in your heart what God has wrought there, then you ought to act on it. You ought to do something about it. You ought to take up your cross and follow the Lord. You ought to take the name of Jesus openly. Put His name on. Put His name on. I've had some people that when they come and join the church and were baptized, they said, "Preacher, why didn't you tell me? Is this good?" I said, "I did, but you got to experience it. You got to come in. You got to experience it."
Yeah.
And so that's how it is. You know, don't hold on to the bench and your knuckles turn white. If you love the Lord, take up your cross. Be identified with the old Baptist.
Yeah.
Somebody says, "Y'all are old fogies." I'm glad we are. I'm just as old fogey as I can be. I'm glad that I'm out of step with this world. I'm out of step with the people of this world. But I want to be in step with Jesus Christ and the path that He trod, and with His people, and with the heritage that God has given me.
Amen.
I'm glad that I am an old Baptist. I'm glad this morning. I'll tell you what, I'd rather be among you than to be in the White House this morning.
Amen.
If I had an invitation from the president, which I'm not looking for one, but anyway, I'd rather be with you. I'd rather be here.
Amen.
Because I'm with the people that I can fellowship with, that I can laugh with, that I can cry with, that I can pour out my heart before, and that we can bear one another's burdens, and that we can pray for one another. What a wonderful establishment that the Lord has established here in this world, that is carried on by the providence of God, that we can be together and that we can live together, and that we can show forth the excitement of what God has done for us and what we have. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ ought to excite us. I mean, you ought to be excited. Smile. Smile because what the Lord has done for you. Rejoice in the Lord. Like, rejoice. About 30 years ago, we had a fellowship meeting down here in Florida. And I took some of the brethren with me. I had a van. I took a van load. And coming back, they said, "Why don't you preach to us like that?" I said, "If you responded like they did, I would." But anyway, I said, "Well, you know, yeah, fresh congregation. But, you know, it's a wonderful place. May God bless you. Keep on keeping on. Pray for this man. Pray for him. Because he is a man. He needs your prayers to preach to you for the glory of God, to honor His name, and to preach His wonderful word." May God bless you with these thoughts.
Turn to hymn number 296. 296. I want to say every meeting, every time we have extended